Hey everybody, thanks again for joining us on New American Nation. With me as always is Teflon and Don Snito. You guys want to say hi?
Yo, yo.
Hey.
So we want to start off basically by telling everybody happy holidays, whatever holiday you may be celebrating this time of year. I think with the holidays, obviously we start thinking a lot more about families and our family units, whether that be in a positive light or a not so positive light, kind of just depending on what your extended family situation is. Hopefully it is in a positive light, but there's a lot of disconnect in families. There's a lot of dysfunction. And I think this time of year, some of those things start kind of getting brought up. So what do you guys think about that?
You know, for me personally, I guess it's just like everybody else, is pretty much contingent on how you came up, how you view your family. You know, the standard, I guess, is, what's the word, like, typical family, platonic or something, whatever that term is, nuclear family, so like mom's pop, a couple of kids or something like that. Yeah, how many people grow up like that nowadays or have had grown up like that in the past few decades? It's usually a little more complicated than that. I know with my situation, it was a ton of people in our house, you know what I mean? Which, of course, is a blessing and a curse, because as we were talking about before we hit record, you know, we grew up with 20% of the family in our house. That means that the other 80% were in other households, you know what I'm saying? But unfortunately, growing up like that, it's like, okay, well, the 20% of the people who were in my house is my family. The other 80%, you know, That's kind of up in the air. So around this time of the year with the holidays, it's like, all right, we're going to see what the 20% is on. You know what I mean? It's a few of those 20%ers who be on that 80% shit. But I'm like, what is this other 80% you're talking about? You know what I mean? So that's one thing that some people deal with versus the mom, dad, brother, sister. You know what I'm saying? Because moms, dads, brothers, and sisters come by. And the grandparents or the parents, and there you go, everybody's in. But when it's, you know, when it's the grandparents and the uncles and aunties and the cousins and everybody, you know what I'm saying, all in the same household, then it can make for quite a unique time around the holidays, man. Is your situation any different?
I think my situation is, you know, not, I hate to put my business out there like that, but super dysfunctional. And so I don't want to necessarily give people a history lesson. But what I think about when I think about families, as far as, you know, successful families, you know, we think about political families or families that have, you know, a lot of money or built corporations and things like that. And I know a lot of those families come from, you know, they've had success in their families from a long time ago. But even in those successful families, there was a lot of dysfunction. Again, not to give everybody a history lesson, but if you go back to like royal families and whatnot, I mean, brothers and cousins and sisters and stuff was cutting heads off and, you know what I mean, all kind of crazy mess. But at the end of the day, they still kept some kind of organization. Like, you knew where your family was and what they're supposed to be doing. You know, it was some kind of structure. Now, fast forward into my grandmother's generation or whatnot. I remember, you know, that same kind of, you know, so many people staying in my grandmother's household with her sister. It was the same way, you know. I also remember on, like, times of Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything, you know, at least the immediate families all getting together, you know, dinners and exchanging gifts and things like that. In my family, at least, it's not that way anymore. You know, I was fortunate enough this year to be able to sit down with my father's eldest brother, who was the last remaining boy sibling. It was five of them. And I haven't seen him since about 10 years when my father passed away. I haven't seen him at all, much less on the holidays. And since my grandmother passed on my mother's side of the family, I haven't spent the holidays with any of my cousins or my brothers and sisters, and I don't know how long. You know, every now and then I might get to spend that time with my mother. Usually I have to go snatch her up from wherever she is and make her eat or cook for me. You know what I mean? So my situation is, I mean, just super dysfunctional as far as I do miss. You know, I know there's people in your family who you don't want to see a lot for whatever reason. You know what I mean? You don't want to be around them. And that's, I know I got plenty of those people that I don't want to see. But, you know, in times of family get together, at least, like even my bro, I got to, maybe I'm putting too much out there. So if you had someone, you know, if there's people in my family who, you know, I don't even want to be around. I don't know what kind of trick they might pull on me or what kind of situation they might put me into. You know, you just don't want to be around them. But still, I have love for them. I miss some of the characteristics of them. And I would at least like to see them once or twice a year. You know what I'm saying? Things of that nature. If for no other reason, but just to say, hey, you know what I'm saying? Nice to see you. I might be gone after that.
Yeah.
Like once I get that high, it might be goodbye immediately.
Turkey drumstick and see you next year.
Yeah, take this drumstick, unless they do something to make me not want to see them next year. But I do miss that, man. I do. Like I said, when my grandmother was around, we were there. Thanksgiving, Christmas, I'm either at my mother's grandmother, my mother's mother's house or my father's mother's house. Or, you know, every year. Christmas, same thing. You know what I mean? Those holidays were family occasions, and if nothing else but to catch up, you know, you spend time with your loved ones. And I think that just sets up a better, just those traditions and things set you up for.
It's always best to have to come up with like some consistency, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
As opposed to everything being sporadic, where you never really get a chance to establish a pattern. That's what all the young folks need, is consistency. And that's maybe what's a little lacking nowadays. What about you? What you think? Crazy family?
I think, short answer, yes. I think that one of the things that I dislike most about the holidays is kind of the phoniness of people feeling pressured and like they have to get together with people that they haven't spoken to, haven't checked in on, haven't done any of those things the whole rest of the year. Like, we're just kind of programmed to do that. Oh, you know, it's Christmas time, it's Thanksgiving, you got to go talk to Uncle whoever who you don't talk to, you don't really care about. And that's disappointing to me, because I think that we just use Christmas as an excuse for that instead of doing it all year. You know, let's use 4th of July. Let's have a month to month marker on when you need to be checking on family and connecting with each other and talking, other than just funerals or weddings or whenever you see each other. I think when you kind of touched on, you know, royal families and things like that, I don't know if it's generational at this point. I don't know if it's just the way society is. But even if you don't have a close-knit family all the time, I think there still used to be that blood is thicker than water mentality. And now I just kind of feel like maybe that's a little bit of talk. You know what I mean? You can argue and fight and fuss with each other, but at the end of the day, you're still family. At the end of the day, you're still blood. And maybe that's not necessarily the way that it is these days, or family isn't quite as important in that way, and it should be. Now, when you talk about, you know, there needs to be more structure, you know, like governments, like kingdoms, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, different structures, that even though you have some kind of strife in there, you may have some kind of disconnect, you still have that bond at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I think, and I don't know if this is my personal experience, I don't know if other people share experience like that, but it's almost like you have to be on guard against family more than anybody else. You exactly. see what I'm saying?
Usually.
Call out the most.
You shouldn't richest. Dread that. You shouldn't yeah. dread like the holidays. Nobody wants to dread the holidays and go, oh.
Because if anybody here can make, who wanted to, let's say Warren Buffett might be too up there.
No. But go with that.
You know what I'm saying? I was going to say, if anybody can make anybody have to do anything they want to do, it would be like their auntie, mother, father, uncle, or grandmother. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's why you have to be on guard against family. I think that's why we only get together once or twice a year. Because you better believe, especially, now this is for me personally. Mm-hmm. If I walk into a household full of my family, before I leave out, I'm going to be obligated to do a bunch of stuff that I had no intention of doing. Before I went in there, had it been a room full of any other group of people, it wouldn't have happened that way. Hey, can you fill in the blank?
Next thing you know,
hey, where you're back? Nope. You see what I'm saying? But you go in that room full of family, damn it.
All your weekends are booked because you're helping people move.
Exactly. And I think that's why people be on guard, like, all right, let's just go over here, let's eat this turkey, right. Let's get up out of here. Let's start asking us to do stuff.
I want to touch on that as far as, like, you know, I get exactly what you're saying about it shouldn't be forced for this one time a year or twice a year on these certain occasions. You know, if you care about these people, you know, it should be something, somewhere, communication
throughout the year. Well, and not to cut you off, but if you care about these people enough to spend Thanksgiving and Christmas with them, if you feel, you know what I mean, that,
right.
Hey, these are my people, these are the people that I need to spend this holiday with, what about February? What about July? We don't care about them then. We sure care enough about them, though, where we've got to buy them presents and show up to all their functions and their kids' plays and whatever's going on.
Right. Well, the thing I was going to say about that is that, I mean, that's a problem in itself that, you know, for anybody listening and for us at this table, you know, we're addressing this to try to get people to understand that don't just do it on these occasions. Don't just, you know, see your grandmother or your aunt or, you know, people you care about. Like I said, there's people who you probably only want to see on that particular time, but there are people that you need to communicate with, especially people who are older in age. Like I said, the main reason I wanted to get to my uncle getting up there, you know what I'm saying? I haven't seen him in 10 years since my father died. I don't want to miss the chance. I didn't want to miss the chance of seeing him. You know, God forbid something happened to him. So it should be more often. But I was going to say, long story short, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Mother's Day, that type of thing. It's those subtle reminders or, you know, aggressive reminders like, hey, you need to spend more time with this person. You know what I mean? So we have it for that.
I'm going to come off like the jerk when I say this. But if I don't care to spend any time with you in June or July, I don't really care to spend any time with you in November and December. I'm just keeping it real.
Well, that's like, what we're saying.
I don't care what you're doing all the rest of the year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you don't want to, then don't. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the people that you do, though.
Right.
Yeah, because there are people.
Well, then I'm going to call you in July,
too. With myself, it's some people who I don't want to be around.
Now, this is the thing also. Unfortunately, how do you say, SHIT rolls downhill. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The same positions, the same plateaus or pedestals or whatever you want to call it that the older folks that we looked up to or we had to listen to when we were kids growing up, as you get older, you fall into those positions too. So unfortunately, if it was that doggone nosy-ass auntie of yours who was the one who was forcing everybody to come together on them doggone holidays, if you, the oldest sister left, you just became that nosy-ass auntie. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? That's what I mean by shit rolls downhill.
Yeah.
As the years go on, we have to, you know, grow into these positions. All right, everybody over my house, damn it, because pop's gone, granddad, you know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, but it is what it is.
So why, you know, maybe we need to kind of get to the root of it. Why do, and, you know, every family has its own issues, its own problems, its own whatever. Why do you think there's so much disconnect between extended family members now?
Let me tell you,
and even close family.
Go ahead.
So I'm a call out a couple of deals. Like you said, extended family. I know brothers, sisters, brothers and sisters, cousins. You know what I mean? There could have been an issue that arose when everybody was under the age of 10, under the age of 20, you know what I mean? Under the age of fill in the blank, and they never were able to get past it, put it aside, so they hold those resentments or whatever negative word you want to associate with that scenario, they hold them joints in that way when it's like, oh, cousin such and such, you know, these mashed potatoes ain't really hitting over the, oh, you just said that because, you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a small little nitpick turns into a big thing. That's one thing. Another thing is, our politics has gone crazy. So, you know, if you add that into an already tumultuous family, that's a whole nother deal. God forbid there was a divorce at some point in the past and say mom or dad went off and had a whole nother family and this was 20 years ago and now everybody come back together. So it's just, it's no longer grandma and granddad, the kids and the grandkids, everybody come together. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily like that. Now it could be half of this family and half of this family or half of, so when it's a little bit more spread out, I think it allows for more, maybe infighting is not the best word to use, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Well, I think not all those things that you said, but as far as the influence, I mean, from the time when we had our grandmothers inviting everybody over for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and things of that nature, since then, and I'm talking about since I was a child, so we're talking 25, you know, 30 years. In 30 years' time, the influx of outside influences, you know, whether it be, you know, popular culture, period, music, drugs, there's all kind of things that have not only, you know, penetrated people's families to, you know, wears them apart. You know, so many people have drug addicts in their family. A lot of people are chasing money, so they forget about what's important at home. You know, there are so many things that have led people. That was just to touch on the why, you know, families have become more dysfunctional, it seems to me. I know mine has, you know, I'm sure other people's has because I've seen it. But I wanted to touch on the fact of, I wanted to look at things like the governments, the royal families, and I, you know, I'm hesitant to say that, although I feel this way, it seems like the politicians and those in power have fed people the recipe for dysfunctional household. If you know what I mean? Because it does seem like it's them against us. And when I say us, I mean everybody else. You know what I'm saying? It's like the politicians are here, the people are here, and they like, hey, whatever we can throw at them to stop them from, you know, getting themselves together as a whole or as a group or as an organization. So I want to, you know, address people and say that I do believe that not only is family important and in the sense of being there for each other and support of one another to guide one another, you know, as far as the older people guiding the younger people in the way they should go, you know, just having some kind of family structure, period, is very important. I know it would have, if I had have grasped more of my family structure or listened to those that were trying to guide me or latched on to those who were already established, I know my life would have been better. So I think that would work for, I've seen people who, you know, have that family structure, and whether their father, uncle, brother, you know, knew exactly how to guide them in the way that they wanted to go, they at least had some of the tools they needed to succeed in life, you know. And that's my main thing. That's one of the main things that wanted me to address this, was that whoever it is, whether it be your family or your friends or somebody you know, a mentor, whoever can teach you that structure and those ways of being successful, and whoever wants to see you go in that way, that needs to be promoted for people. You know what I mean? Because I just, you know, everybody is not only for self, but they don't know in which way they should go. They don't have any backup. They don't have any support. You know, it's the people the successful people I see have some kind of support, whether it be from their family or their some kind of group, some kind of, it's organized, you know, it's people working together to help each other, whether they be common goals or separate goals. They work together to help one another achieve them.
I think with everything that you're talking about, it's kind of like a ranking system in a way. And that's what sets it apart. That's what makes it different, is that governing body, that ranking system. And that's the way that the family should be set up. Not necessarily, even if you don't have a mom or a dad mm-hmm. or whatever, there's still senior positions, whether it be your grandparents, your uncle, your big brother, your whatever.
Or whoever got their stuff together.
Exactly. There needs to be some kind of ranking system in there that's really clear cut, but still in the family, even if you're, you know, low in that rank, you still serve a purpose in that family. Mm. Like, you still are an exclusive part of the machine. And I think that that's what a lot of people are missing, is it's like, oh, you know, uncle, whatever's over there doing that, and nobody's guiding anybody, and nobody knows right. what their place is in this family or what they're supposed to be doing. So
I couldn't have said it better myself. That was, yeah, that was deep.
Maybe, you know how they have those groups on Facebook. Maybe families can start getting those bad boys.
And I mean,
them. I just, you know how I am with the social.
I mean, one of my favorite things about Facebook, though, is that, I mean, it's a bad thing and a good thing. It's a gift and a curse. On Facebook, anybody in my family who's on Facebook, it's kind of lazy sometimes. I'm like, oh, I wonder how so-and-so doing. Let me hit them up on Facebook. But at the same time, I might not have that connection if it wasn't for Facebook. So, I mean, we can use it to our advantage and try to not make us lazy.
There's a positive and a negative to that. Because like right. you said, you can kind of keep tabs on what's going on. You're not completely lost with what's going on in people's lives. But at the same time, I think we use that as an excuse, like, oh, no, I know what's going on.
Right.
Instead of picking up the phone or really calling and checking on somebody. Because as we know, everything that you see on Facebook isn't necessarily true. You know, somebody might seem like they're doing all right and they're not.
Well, take another assessment also. I happen to believe that, let's go back 30, 40, 50, even 60 years ago. It probably wasn't, I'm not going to say it wasn't much going on, but I'm thinking in a world where things moved a lot slower, probably family get-togethers was something that everybody looked forward to. It probably extended from whether everybody showed up every night for dinner or, you know, every Sunday dinner, or, you know, all the holidays. So let's say when our grandparents were younger than 10 or younger than 20, maybe this is the world that they grew up in, where everybody who was vaguely related walked they butts or drove they butts that few miles out to the farm to make sure that they was there. So, you know what I mean? And maybe that's how they grew up thinking that things were supposed to happen. They tried to instill it in us. I say that to say, if that is the case, which technically you would think, other than that, it's just take your ass to the store and spend your money, and this is why we have those holidays. We know that that's the case, but it's still about families getting together. If that is the case, then maybe we can, you know, do a little bit better in instilling that into, you know, our kids and grandkids, so it can continue to go on. Because, you know, if people stop getting together and stop communicating and stop identifying blood is sticking in water, or, you know, it's a family thing, then hell, we really in trouble then.
Right.
Well, and that's the reason that we're doing what we're doing. I think, like you said, we know that people have lost their way. So hopefully New American Nation can be some kind of help to help people find their way back.
Like a lighthouse.
With that being said, we've decided to do a new thing on New American Nation, where we want to leave you with some positive outlook for the rest of your week. A tool that you can use to, you know, maybe be better or do better, or to help you in life. So this week, we're going to go with, from Buddhist Daily, control your anger because it's just one letter away from danger. And with families, we all know our anger. I know with me, my anger has pushed me to get into some things with my siblings. Man, I'm sure we all have some stories. I've heard some stories from you guys where I was like, man.
I'm trying to stay all modest over here. Don't get in too deep.
So, control your anger because it's just one letter away from danger. Nobody wants to be a danger to their family.
I like it. So we are just about out of time to recap. I don't even know how to recap this show, but just love one another. Try to keep in touch with, you know, your family, whether or not you have negative issues with them or not. Try to at least, you know, every couple of months or something, touch base, and not just necessarily around the holidays. We hope everybody has a safe and happy holiday. If you guys want to leave us any feedback, you can go to numericalife.com, and we will see you next week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.